Chapter 20. Who is your leader?
It's a hole, Riverpaw said, not fully understanding why Ben found it necessary to show everyone.
Yes, a hole, Ben said, not fully understanding why Riverpaw couldn't see the significance.
In a sand dune. It's a giant pile of sand, and it's hollow.
Riverpaw shook his head.
Nope, still not impressed.
Ben threw his arms in the air and turned his head to the sky.
I can't see anything,
Thomas said as he stuck his head inside the hole. The hole was large enough for the bears to fit through, but the group had no way to know how deep it went.
I believe I can be of some service, White Claw said, stepping forward. If we had something we could burn, then we could throw it into the hole and see how deep it is.
Thomas pulled a tinderbox from his pack and lit a long strip of cloth he tore from his shirt.
Let's see if this works, he said.
He threw the flaming cloth into the darkness and watched as it fell.
That was a good idea, Ben said to White Claw.
I've seen it done once before, the bear replied.
Hey, it worked, Thomas said while looking into the hole. The cloth stopped about 20 feet down and there's a leg. Yeah, a leg. Wait, I can't see anything anymore. The fire went out. I can't see. Ah!
The rope flew out of the darkness and looped around Thomas. Quickly it tightened and ripped him from his perch at the lip of the hole.
Thomas! Ben yelled and stuck his head into the hole. Thomas!
Ben could hear his brother screaming below, but Thomas's cries came from farther and farther away until they disappeared altogether.
We have to save him!
Ben yelled, turning to Evercloud and the bears.
Evercloud, Riverpaw said, I'm going to hang my body down into that hole. Then you can climb down my back and try to reach the bottom. Thomas said it was about 20 feet. We should be able to reach that.
Evercloud nodded, and Riverpaw lowered himself into the hole. He moved slowly and dug his claws as deep into the sand as he could. Once the bear gave the signal, Evercloud put his arms around Riverpaw's neck and walked his feet down to Riverpaw's hips.
All right, Riverpaw, Evercloud said. I'm going to drop to your legs.
Go ahead,
Riverpaw said, and held on tightly. Evercloud slid down Riverpaw's back and then grabbed hard once he reached the bear's legs. Sweat dripped from the young man's brow as he dangled in the darkness.
Can you reach the bottom?
Ben yelled into the hole.
Not yet,
Evercloud called.
Hold on.
He released his grip on one of Riverpaw's legs and dangled from one arm.
Nothing yet, but it must be close. I'm going to let go.
No, Evercloud,
White Claw's voice boomed into the darkness.
That's too dangerous. We don't know what happened to Thomas.
But before Evercloud could stop, he had released his hold on Riverpaw and fallen to the floor.
It's okay, Evercloud cried. I'm all right. It's not that far.
Don't move a muscle,
a gravelly voice said in the darkness.
I've already killed your friend, so don't try any funny stuff.
What's going on?
Riverpaw called. Is it okay for me to drop?
No,
Evercloud yelled.
Don't come down.
Tell your friends to get down here and move slowly, or I'll kill all of you,
the gravelly voice said. What do you want? Evercloud asked calmly.
I don't want anything, the voice said.
Then why do you want us down here? Evercloud asked.
So you can fix the hole you made in my roof, the voice said.
If that's all you wanted, why did you kill our friend? Evercloud asked incredulously.
I didn't kill your friend, the voice huffed. I just don't want any funny business.
Where is he?
Evercloud asked.
In the other room.
And you'll let him go if we fix the roof?
Yes, yes, the voice said in frustration.
Can I see him? Evercloud asked.
After you fix the roof,
the voice yelled indignantly. Evercloud heard some things hit the floor near his legs and then heard a door slam behind him.
What's going on down there? Ben yelled from above. Come on down, Evercloud yelled back. The person who took Thomas wants us to patch the hole.
The others made their way to the floor as Evercloud sifted through the materials at his feet. There was a bag of candles, a box of matches, a hammer, and some nails. Is this it? Evercloud thought. What happened? Ben asked once he reached the floor. We've upset whoever lives here, Evercloud said. He's got your brother in another room, and he'll only let him go if we patch up the roof.
Somebody lives here? Riverpaw asked.
Seems like it, Evercloud said.
And how are we supposed to patch a hole in sand? The bear asked.
He left us a few things for the job, Evercloud said. Matches, candles, nails, and a hammer.
Well, Whiteclaw said, first light the candles so we can see where we are.
Evercloud lit the candles and looked around. There wasn't much in the room with the exception of a couple of torches and a large mattress on the floor.
I suppose this is his bedroom, Evercloud guessed.
He went to the torches and lit them. Now the group could see quite well and noticed the walls were painted with extravagant murals.
I've seen these before, Ben said, but they're different.
He grabbed a candle and moved closer to one of the scenes.
These are paintings of the ancients being banished from our world. I've seen these in churches of the holy, but look here.
Ben pointed at the image of a large griffin.
This is Tenturo. In this picture he is painted white, but in the church's version he's red. Also, in the church's version there are two white stallions driving Tenturo away. I don't know what those black things are.
Ben pointed at two black beasts painted upon the wall.
If I'm correct, these pictures suggest what we've believed all along.
That the ancients were not evil, after all, a gravelly voice said.
The group spun around to see a stout little man in the doorway wearing a gray robe and a bashful grin.
Your friend has just told me of your quest, he said. Please follow me.
What about the hole? Evercloud asked.
This is more important, the man said.
The group walked into another room and found Thomas sitting at a wooden table, stuffing his face with bread, cheese, and meat.
It's crab, he said cheerfully with his mouth full. It's delicious.
You hunt the crab? Ben asked the little man.
I trap them, the man said. Lucky for me, the creatures have far more flavor than they have brains. Please, help yourselves.
The group sat around the table, but were not all as eager as Thomas to eat a stranger's food.
I apologize for my rudeness, Whiteclaw said to the man, but who are you?
Oh, forgive me, the man said, and wiped crab meat from his face. I am Padre Esteban, retired explorer, current aide to the great Tenturo.
You have seen Tenturo? Ben asked in astonishment.
Oh, yes, the man affirmed.
So you know where we can find him?
Riverpaw asked.
Well, we'll get to that, Esteban said. First, let's eat.
Excuse me again, Whiteclaw said, but how is it that you trust us so easily? What if we meant to harm Tenturo?
You? Padre Esteban asked and laughed. Harm Tenturo? That's a good one.
Even still, Ben added, how do you know our intentions are good?
Oh, I don't, Esteban answered, but we'll get to that. Eat.
So they did. They all ate until they were satisfied, finding the crab meat quite succulent.
How were you not hurt in the fall?
Riverpaw asked Thomas.
Landed on the bed, Thomas said with a cheese-filled grin.
Padre Esteban poured mugs of wine as they finished eating.
Now, he said, I have a story I would like to tell that I think you will find most interesting, and if things go accordingly, I may decide to administer a test.
A test about the story? Evercloud asked.
No, Esteban said, though that is a good idea. Anyway, here's the story. When the world was young, and quite boring, I might add, four ancient beings gathered together and created creatures to inhabit Earth. They created many creatures, some big, some small, some intelligent, he nodded at the bears, and some not so, he nodded at his empty plate of crab meat. However, they had yet to create a creature with their combined forces, and they very much wished to do so. So one day, the ancients set about the task of creating a creature they would call human.
They argued over how it should be done, and in the end it was decided that Tenturo and Bachnar would create the body of fire and wind, and Denza and Shara would give it life with earth and water.
That's not how it happened, Riverpaw said.
Don't interrupt, Padre Esteban said sternly.
Now where was I? Ah, yes. And thusly, the ancients created human. Yet something was wrong. The body of human could not interact with the world around it. A body made of fire and wind was terrible to gaze upon, and the other creatures of the world fled from it. And rightly so, as humans' very touch would burn and rip their flesh. Even the vegetation could not withstand humans' touch. Everything human came in contact with perished before it. It was a cursed and damned creature, forced into isolation by its very nature. The ancients had failed in their first combined attempt. Human, as they had created it, was not fit for the earth. So the ancients discussed their failure long and hard, and finally, sadly, they agreed to destroy it. They killed their creation and buried it at the bottom of the deepest abyss in the deepest sea to forget about it forever. Although the ancients were unable to accept their failure, and they tried again to create human. They were successful on only their second attempt. Earth and water made a much more pleasant exterior. Human was the pride and glory of the ancients, and the world existed harmoniously for quite some time. Unfortunately, there was one thing the four ancients did not account for, or should I say someone they did not account for. No one knows when time began, and no one knows how many ancient beings there are, or how many worlds there are across the scope of existence. But on that day the four ancients created human, they forgot to include one specifically important ancient being, quite possibly the most important ancient being of all, Earth.
You mean to tell us that the very ground we walk upon is an ancient being? Ben asked.
Sort of,
Padre Esteban answered.
I assume you know Denza was the ancient who controlled the element of Earth. But imagine, if you will, that the trees, rocks, and dirt are but the outer covering of the ancient being that is the Earth, the core. And it has all the thoughts, feelings, and jealousies of any other being. And jealous the Earth was. Tenturo, Bachnar, Denza, and Shara had done much creating without consideration for Earth. That was their greatest folly. In Earth's jealousy, it retrieved the body of the fallen creation, and again gave it life. Not only did Earth reanimate the creature, but it also bestowed upon it a power only known to Earth itself. Thusly, the great tyrant was unleashed upon the world. The four ancients were no match for his new power, and were subsequently forced away. I assume you know the rest of the story.
The group was stunned. The Earth itself was an ancient being? How was this possible? You'll have to excuse me, Padre Esteban, Ben said. I'm finding this a little difficult to swallow. Do you have any proof to back this story up?
The Padre laughed.
I don't need proof, my boy. That's the funny thing about truth. Give it enough time. It'll see its own way through.
Our quest is futile, then, White Claw said. If what you are telling us is the very earth that sustains our life willed the great tyrant forward, how can we fight that? Should we fight that?
Don't be so negative, Padre Esteban chided. We don't know what the earth intended, and we don't know how the earth feels now. Sometimes our actions can be like an avalanche. One little action can create an unstoppable force we never intended. Who's to say the great tyrant isn't just something that got out of control? The earth could be on our side for all we know.
So what should we do? Ben asked.
Don't know, Padre Esteban shrugged. But I'm sure Tenturo has an idea.
So you'll take us to him? White Claw asked.
If one of you can pass the test,
Esteban said.
Just one of us? Thomas asked.
Just one, Esteban said.
Then let us begin this test. Ben stood up eagerly.
It's very simple, Padre Esteban said.
You are all to go back into the room where you entered my home and wait. I will call you out, one by one, and administer the test.
But what will we be doing? Thomas asked.
You'll see,
the squat little man said with a smile. So the group returned to the room in which they had first entered Padre Esteban's home and waited underneath the hole in the roof. Riverpaw was the first to be called, and the Padre led him past the kitchen into a small room lit with candles. Riverpaw and the Padre sat down on the floor in the middle of the room and faced each other.
Now, Riverpaw, Esteban said, I will ask you one question. You will answer it as honestly as you can. That is the test. Are you ready?
I think so,
Riverpaw said and shifted uncomfortably.
Who is your leader?
That's it, Riverpaw thought.
Well, don't overthink it. Just be honest. My father, White Claw,
the bear answered.
Good, Esteban said. Thank you. Now please go into the kitchen and wait for the others.
Did I pass?
Riverpaw asked.
I'll reveal that after I hear all of the answers, Esteban said.
Riverpaw made his way to the kitchen, and Padre Esteban ushered Thomas into the room.
Well, honestly, I think Evercloud is probably the leader, Thomas said. I mean, he's the reason why my brother and I are on a quest with a couple of bears. He's sort of the bridge.
Thank you, Esteban said. Please go into the kitchen and wait for the others.
Then it was Ben's turn. I don't mean to sound conceited, but I'm the leader, Ben said. We wouldn't be trekking through this desert if it weren't for my actions. My brother knows the desert, but I'm the elder. So, yes, I would have to say I'm the leader. Next came White Claw, and the answer was quick.
I follow Evenei, King of Grey Mountain, White Claw said.
Finally, it was Evercloud's turn. As he followed the Padre down the hall, he looked into the kitchen and saw the others. Riverpaw shrugged, signaling they didn't know anything yet. Evercloud swallowed hard and walked on.
Who is your leader?
Padre Esteban asked once they were alone. The first thing Evercloud thought to say was White Claw.
That's too simple, he thought. There must be a trick, a deeper meaning to the question. Maybe the answer is the ancients. Now, anyone would say that. It must be specific to our group so no one could cheat.
White Claw was the strongest and eldest, but Ben and Thomas knew the desert. They wouldn't have gotten this far without them. However, the party never would have met if it weren't for Evercloud.
Could I be the answer? He wondered.
To be fair, Riverpaw has done his share as well. Hadn't it been his action that dealt the final blow to the giant crab? The leader could be any of us, really, Evercloud realized.
I need an answer,
Padre Esteban said. Evercloud grimaced and sighed. Well, he began, I guess if I'm being forced to name a leader, I would have to say White Claw and Riverpaw and Ben and Thomas and also myself. Is it all right to answer the question that way?
It is your answer, Evercloud, Esteban said. You may give it however you like. Now, let us join the others.
Padre Esteban and Evercloud walked into the kitchen, and all eyes were on the Padre. No one could wait to hear the results of the test.
I received some interesting answers to my question, Padre Esteban said.
Very interesting indeed. None of which were ultimately wrong.
He paused, and the expectant eyes around him twinkled with hope.
And none of which were ultimately correct.
The twinkle faded from the traveler's eyes, and they hung their heads.
However, Esteban said, for the purposes of this specific test, one of you gave an acceptable answer.
You mean we passed? Evercloud asked brightly.
Yes, you passed the test.
The travelers jumped from their seats and threw their arms into the air. Riverpaw grabbed Evercloud and rubbed his shaved head like a proud older brother.
Wait, Thomas said. Who was it? Who gave the right answer?
Do you all wish to know who it was?
Esteban asked. The group collectively nodded.
It was Evercloud who gave the acceptable answer.
They turned to Evercloud and cheered him. He couldn't believe his answer had been right, or acceptable, as Padre Esteban had put it.
What answer did you give?
Riverpaw asked his cousin.
I said all of us, all five of us.
Well done, Evercloud,
White Claw said, beaming. The group praised Evercloud and celebrated their victory.
I expect you would like to be on your way, then.
Esteban asked. Or would you like to rest a while longer?
On our way, Ben asked absently.
To see Tenturo?
Padre Esteban said. Their eyes widened as the travelers remembered what they had won, and then they enthusiastically answered yes.
Then follow me,
Padre Esteban said, and led them into the room with the hole in the roof.
We should fix the hole before we leave, White Claw said, and then looked up.
What hole? Padre Esteban asked.
The group turned to where the hole in the roof had been just a second before and found it was now gone. They looked back at the Padre with a new reverence for the man.
Well, don't look at me like that, Padre Esteban said. I'm not the one seeing holes that don't exist.
He shook his head and walked over to the mural that depicted Tenturo. Esteban then took a chain with a small white stone from around his neck and pressed it against the mural. At once, a passageway opened in the wall.
Follow this passage, Esteban said. It will lead to Tenturo.
They thanked Padre Esteban and entered the dark passageway. Evercloud was last, and he stopped to ask a question. You said my answer was acceptable, but not ultimately correct. What did you mean?
My boy, Esteban said, your answer was acceptable because it mirrored the sentiment of the true answer. The truth is, every creature in this world leads itself. Or should I say, every creature in this world should lead itself. Remember that, Evercloud.
Thank you, Padre Esteban. And with that, Evercloud disappeared into the darkness.